Let me just read that last verse again. All to thee is yielded. I am not my own. Blissful, glad surrender. I am thine alone. This morning I want to talk about a relationship with Jesus and how that helps me to do hard things. But before we get there, I just want to talk a little bit about the coffee corner. We're having a schedule change for the month of July. It may last beyond July, but at least July. On Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we're going to be open in the afternoon from 1 to 4. And we're going to have drinks, mostly cold drinks. And we're not planning to buy any food. So when it gets cold again, we'll be glad to have you as volunteers there. I said, Jesus, a relationship with Jesus helps me to do hard things that I can't do by myself. Before we get there, I just want to talk about some hard things and then give you a chance to add to this list. Example of right hard things to do. Enduring physical suffering and pain without becoming bitter. Enduring persecution or rejection by the in-group. Doing the important spiritual disciplines of prayer and Bible reading, even when it right now doesn't seem to be life-giving. Stop a sinful habit, start a good habit, not procrastinating. Get the physical exercise and take care of my body that I need. Eating less or eating more healthily. Forgiving someone who's hurt you deeply. Humbling yourself and asking for forgiveness. Is that hard? I think so. No secret sins, being transparent about my struggles with safe people, feeling grief and facing it squarely without stuffing it or running away from it. We're grieving. Feeling regret over your fails and the failures and the way that you've hurt other people, facing your losses, what could have been and not possible now, and then being able to move on with life. Facing your fears. For years, I've had unrealistic fears about something. I won't go into that right now. But this week, I was able to face those things and to get past that. I'm excited. What about when you feel overwhelmed? There's just too much to do, not enough time. There's so many demands on you, and you don't know what to do. You're exhausted. You're tired. Those are some examples of hard things to do. Do you want to add some more hard things that you're facing or that somebody might face? Okay, that's fine. So how can Jesus help me to do those good, right, hard things? Does my being a Christian make a difference? I think you would say yes, but tell me how. Think about that. I want to read four passages. They're all well known, and I want to suggest that these truths about Jesus make a difference in the way that I can face hard things. If you want to, you can just listen. This is Matthew 26, 36 to 46. It's when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. If there's anything I want you to hear, it's that Jesus prayed three times and then something switched. What does that mean? You figure it out. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So you couldn't watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went and prayed. So what's going on? He's prayed once, and he feels the need to pray again. My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, sleep and take your rest. Later on, see, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. There's something I want you to think about. Is Jesus is facing something really, really hard. I don't think you've faced anything as hard as going to the cross. But I want to suggest that it was harder for him than the same thing would be harder for you, because he knew what was going to happen, and he could have stopped it. The events of this past week blindsided us because we weren't expecting them. And there's nothing that we could have done to change those events. But think about Jesus' incredible power and his foreknowledge. And he could have changed those things if he had wanted to. I stand in awe of our God, of our Jesus, who knew, could have escaped, but said, this is what I need to do. That's impressive. And I assure you, he was not an unfeeling robot that could say, the nail doesn't hurt. The way they're hitting me, the way they're making fun of me, that doesn't hurt. That's not Jesus. He was feeling things very deeply. And yet something happened between the third time he prayed and then he came to his disciples, and he was able to face the really hard things that happened and face the cross and all the pain, because a decision had already been made and he was following through in a resolute way because he loved and cared for us. I assure you that Jesus, this wasn't the first hard thing that Jesus did. Jesus had for a lifetime been choosing the right hard thing to do. And even though this was the most difficult thing he had ever done, he was able to do it because he had this relationship with God. And so one thing I want you to hear this morning is that Jesus knows what it's like to hurt like crazy, for it to be really, really hard, to pray three times, and maybe for you it's more than three times, but to pray and to just kind of refuse to act in selfish, refuse to act by himself until he knew what was true. The second portion of scripture that I want to read for you is something that feels, we just don't like reading. But I want to say something that I pray will free you to understand some things about yourself. It's Romans 7. Romans 7:15 to 20. For I do not understand my own actions. And I want you to be thinking about what I call the bad part of me and the good part of me. If you look at it carefully, you can understand which is the good part of me and that other part that feels like me. But let's listen. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very things I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now, if it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good that I want, but the evil that I do. But the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. All I want to say is the good part of you, the part of you that longs to love God, to serve God, to do what's right, is the real you. That other part that feels so much like you, that he calls sin, that he calls flesh, isn't really the real you. I hope you hear me right. I'm not making allowance for sin, for carelessness, for all of that. I'm just saying the real you loves God and wants to serve him. So you can do what's right, and the part of you that just wants to be naughty, you can say no to that, and that part will become weaker, and that part of you, it feels like you, you have no commitment. There's no need to pay attention and to do what that part seems to want. The third portion I want to read to you is Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. This feels better. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So if Jesus was tempted in all the ways that you're tempted, he put up with more than you do. If there was a candy bar right here, and you just love candy bars, and you would just, no, I'm not supposed to do that. Oh, but I really want to. No, but I don't want to. How long does the struggle last? Until you grab it and eat it. So if Jesus didn't sin, what does that mean? He never gave in. And he's put up with more than you have. The last scripture that I want to read is 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it and not sin. I'd like to apply this to grief. Does Jesus know what grief is all about? If you look at the Gospels, when his cousin John was killed, Jesus wanted to get away. He wasn't able to, but he wanted to get away to debrief and to face this loss. We think he probably lost his father, his stepfather, Joseph, because we don't hear anything about. We hear about Mary, but we don't hear about him. And I just believe what Scripture says, that Jesus faced all the hard things that you face. And I want to say, based on what Matthew 26 says, you have permission to grieve, you have permission to slow down and to pray until God ministers to you and the truths that you need to know in order to do the next right, hard thing. God can give you that grace. And Jesus, if Jesus went through it, and if he's eager to have relationship with you, what does that mean? You can grow in your relationship with him. Just knowing that he felt deep, the deep agonizing pain of losing a loved one. And if you share that experience with him, your relationship with him can grow. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says your relationship with 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that there's always a godly way to confront every situation. Those are precious truths. May the Lord help us to avail ourselves to that. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for walking here on earth and for being willing to let your feet touch the ground and to do hard things. Thank you that you understand us. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we see that you struggled and that it was hard. Thank you for what you want to teach us through that. Thank you for the truth that even though I feel torn inside, the real me, if I'm a Christian, is the part that wants to love God and to serve God, and that I can feed that part of me. Thank you that there's always a way out. And Lord, I ask that you this morning would apply to each one of us hard things that we're facing, and that these truths will help us to know what you want me to do. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.